Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Dalet 94, and we're picking up at the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Mabez, about five lines from the bottom. Hamocher peros l'chavero, someone who sells fruits to his friend. The Rashbam points out that here we're not talking about fruits like apples or oranges, we're talking about tavua, about grain. So someone who sells grain to his friend, hareze makabel alav rova tinofes lisa. So basically the question we're dealing with here is as follows, is that sometimes when there's product you sell, that the product generally comes with some degree of impurity or something, and there's some amount of what we're going to talk about in the case of a tua is, for example, if there's other grains mixed in, or if there's dirt that happened when you were harvesting, or maybe sand, pebbles, whatever it is, we're going to talk about different cases. So the question is, there's some amount that's considered reasonable, and it's not a basis to say that he didn't deliver the goods that they discussed. So what we're saying here is that someone who sells tavua, that there's an understanding or an allowance for up to a rova in each sa. So a rova, a quarter, is generally a reference to a quarter of a kav. There are four kavim in. I'm sorry. There is a rova kav is a quarter of a kav, and there's six kav to a sa. So basically, we're saying if it is up to 1/24th, thank you very much, up to 1/24th of the tua can be tinofes, something other than wheat. Te'enim, let's say he's selling figs, mekabel alav eser misolas, mitolas, that he's willing to take out of 100, 10 of these figs that are wormy. And the Rashbam says, the Urchayu Bahachi, and they're just giving a general measure that people sell 100 and 10 of them are wormy, Vuhu Adin Achas LeEser. He's saying it's a ratio. In other words, when you're buying figs, one out of every 10, if you're buying just 10 figs, one of them can be a wormy fig. If you're buying 100, it can be 10. I'm sorry, Tainu Makabal of Eser Mitalas Lameya. Martiv Shoyayin. So Martiv Shoyayin is you basically selling a wine cellar. The Rashbam says, Yesh Bechavi is Harbi, you have lots of barrels in there. Makabal of Eser Kosasos Lameya. So same proportion. In other words, Kosasos, the Rashbam says, is Yayin Ra, is bad wine, which we're going to see in the Gemara is talking about wine that has begun to spoil. So you can have 10% of the barrels of wine can be slightly spoiled, and that's still considered an acceptable sale. Kankanim b'sharon, if in the area of Sharon that they sold kankanim or barrels, mekabel alav eser pitzos lemeya, that they were okay with 10 pitzos. The Rashbam says kadim ra'im, bad pitchers, bad barrels, whatever it is. So in other words, basically what we're seeing here is, at least in the latter several, that the measure is 10%. But what we're going to spend our time on today is the first part of the Mishnah, which talks about when you sell tvua, the idea that up to one quarter of a kav, or 1/24th of each sa, can be psolas, can be tinofes, can be things that are just mixed in with the wheat. Okay, so the Gemara says, second to bottom line, Tzadi Gimel on base, Tani Rev Kitina. Rev Kitina learned, Rova Kitnis Lisa'a, that you can have up to a quarter kav of kitnias. Kitnias is legumes. So what it's saying is that what's allowed to be mixed in, that when you're selling the wheat and you're allowed to have some degree of impurity, it's talking about kitnias. Now what exactly, why is there kitnias in here? So the Rashbam explains actually a little bit later that we know that you don't plant wheat and barley together, wheat and legumes together, But they used to use the same field. So let's say this year I planted legumes, and next year when I plant wheat, sometimes some of the legumes come up in there. Interestingly, that if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Nun Gimel, which is in Hilchos Pesach, it talks about basically the way the Siman starts is it talks about saying that the matzah has to be made from one of the Chameshas Minei Dagon, one of the five types of Dagon. It says, for example, you cannot make it out of rice or kidneys. Because it has to be a davar that's machmitz, it has to be something that is capable of becoming chametz, and so it says, and therefore anything other than the chamishas mini dagon, you can use it even to make tavshil. So the Ramah says v'yesh osrim that there are those that aser. This is the question of whether or not we eat kidneys on Pesach. And so the Taz brings down, and that's generally how it's understood, that there's one of two reasons for kidneys. One is the one we often hear, which is the idea that if you're going to have kidneys, you could come to confuse it with actual chametz. In other words, if you make rice flour, you make bread, you know, it seems like you can have bread. But the other is actually brought from this Gemara, the concept that sometimes when they would have a field of kidneys, that from the prior year there would be some wheat that grew in it. So if you're going to have some wheat amongst the kidneys, and you're going to end up making the kidneys, and it's going to have a little bit of wheat in it, that's something that could come into zasher mashuhu, and that's one of the two reasons why the mefarshim bring that we don't eat kidneys on Pesach in Minhag Ashkenaz anyway. So basically, Rav Ketina says, what are we talking about here? That we're talking about you can have a rova of kidneys in a saw of wheat. So the implication from that would be that what are you allowed to have in the wheat? You're allowed to have kidneys, but you cannot have dirt. And the Gemara says, well, is that true? Vafruris lo, is it true that you can't have, the Rashbam says, betmiya, it's a question, is it true that you can't have dirt? V'ha'amar Rabba Bar Chia Katosva Mishmei de Rabba, the Rabba Bar Chia from Katosva says in the name of Rabba, Bayret Tzrar Migroino Shochavero, if someone picks out a pebble from the Garon, from the store, his supply of wheat, top of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, Noisen Lo Demei Chitin, that he has to give him the value of wheat. What's going on over here? So the basic idea is as follows: if I have a pile of wheat and it has some pebbles in it, but those pebbles are beneath the limit that I would be able to sell it. In other words, that's what we're talking about here in this mission, that there's a certain amount of impurity that's allowed. But what happens if I walk up to Saeed's pile and I go pick out the stones? So what am I doing? Essentially, what I'm doing is I'm costing him money. Why? Because he was going to be able to sell the entire thing by volume, weight, however it is that they sell it. And now I'm reducing that volume or weight by pulling out stones. And maybe we'll spend a minute, talking about this particular case, because some very interesting things there. But let's just first establish what the Gemara's point is. So what do we see? We see that I'm causing Saeed damage by taking out the pebbles, because otherwise he could have sold them as part of the wheat. So what do you see? You see that pebbles, which are the same as dirt, meaning we're not talking about other produce like kidneys, we're talking about dirt. You see that what's the reason I'm chayev to Saeed for taking them out is because he could have sold them. So what do you see? You see that you can even sell stones or dirt. So why does the Gemara, we make this implication from Rav Ketina that you cannot sell dirt, you can only sell kidneys mixed in? It seems from this statement that you can sell even, you're allowed to have even some amount of dirt or stones in there. So the Gemara says, kidneys roiva, afruris pachas mi roiva. So he says as follows, you're right, the implication we made was that you're allowed to mix in a rova of, of kitnias. So we thought that meant that you can't mix in any stones. So we're saying no. You, if we're talking about mixing in kitnias, then you could mix in up to a rova, up to and including a rova of kitnias in the wheat that you're selling. But if you're dealing with dirt, then the allowable amount is something less than a rova. So in other words, it's not, the implication from the rova of kitnias is not that no dirt is allowed, just that not a rova of dirt is allowed. So therefore, kitnias, you're allowed a rova. Kitnias, you're allowed a rova, and in the case of dirt, you're allowed less than a rova. Okay, so let's just talk for a moment at the risk of losing some time later. There are a couple very interesting questions here, which is as follows. And maybe we'll do the Rashbam inside. So the Rashbam says, "Nosin lo tmei chitin," and the basic question we're going to be dealing with here is, on what basis am I chayev when I remove the stones from Said's pile of wheat? So we say as follows, Nosan lo d'mechitin, in the top of the Amud and the Rashbam, Shari hefchisa b'mido, I've reduced the measurement of his pile, diyu havi mezavin le imachitin, that he, the Said, was going to sell these stones together with his wheat, da'afruris mekabel lekeach, that because the purchaser knows that you're allowed to have some amount of dirt or pebbles in there. Now the Rashbam points out, so why not say, okay, so if I went and picked out the stones from Said's pile, and he doesn't like it because he was going to sell it, so I'll stick them back in. So he says, that ain't a yachol, you're not allowed to do. The hashta osa avla biyadayim, because now he's doing an avla with his hands, uksiv, the pasuk's written, lo sasu avel, meaning you can't mess with measures. Sticking stones into, when you're selling wheat, that's already affirmatively doing avel. And that falls under the category lo sasu avel. The gam, as we're going to see, a lot of this has to do with mechila. The Rashbam points out, v'gam lokeach lo machil el mashe nisarev me'atzmo imatvua ba'karcha shamocher. So he's saying that when is a purchaser allowed, is saying, I don't mind buying a little bit of stone, is because you're saying, look, when you harvest, I get it. There's things that get thrown in there. But surely the lakach is not saying, you're welcome to put stones in my wheat. That he's not going to agree. And therefore, when I pick out the stones from Said's pile and I throw them away, I am causing direct, it's hezek biyadayim, with my hands, I'm causing damage to Said. So hezek biyadayim hu sha'osan tsroris hayolo shovin kemo chitin. So the Rashbam in his first teretz is saying that basically, stones, those stones are money. Why? Because he's allowed to sell them, and if he's allowed to sell them, and I take them out, and now he can't sell them anymore, I have affirmatively and directly caused him damages. So therefore, the idea is, even though normally we think of stones or dirt as valueless, in this case, they're valuable. So it's a direct hezek. V'inami, or else you're going to say, and this is what gets very interesting, inami, another teretz Rashbam says, lo chashivilei hezek gomor. So he says, fine, I'll grant you that you can't consider taking of stones and dirt to be hezek gomor. Why? Because they're not worth anything. So he says, So he says that they're not worth anything. So therefore, he's saying, maybe you don't like my first teretz that says that it's hezek biyadayim. So why should you be chayev? Mia mishum dino de garmi. So he says, the halacha of garmi. And I referenced yesterday that we would talk about garmi and groma. So we know that groma, if you cause something indirectly, that is considered that you're not chayev for something that you cause indirectly. But yet we find there are categories of what we might consider indirect that you are chayav for. And that falls into the category of garmi. So what's, and garmi you are chayav for. So the Rashbam says, what's a classic case of that could go on? Asarev shtorosov shal chavero, v'amakdash v'kerem, v'azareya klayim b'sadei chavero. So these are all cases. So for example, if I burn your shtar, right? So what did I actually do? I burned a piece of paper. So what do I owe you? A penny? But meanwhile, if that shtar that I burned was a shtar that you could have collected $1,000 loan that you had from someone, in reality, what I've done is I've caused you a loss of $1,000, not of one penny for a piece of paper, right? Or if, for example, if I go into your vineyard and I plant wheat, Right? So what did I do? I planted wheat. What's wrong with that? But at the end of the day, I'm causing you damage in a more direct fashion. So that's garmi. So what do we say about he shaita kagazole miyad mimono? Because he says at that time, right away, I am causing him damage with my immediate action, afal pishena nicker, even though it's not recognizable. In other words, when I plant the wheat, it's nothing about my planting the wheat says that I'm causing you damage because it's in your kerem, but halachically, that's what I'm doing. When I burn the piece of paper, there's nothing evident that I'm burning $1,000. It looks like I'm burning a piece of paper. So therefore, that's the case of garmi. We'll skip here for a second and say, the grama, so he says a few lines down, the grama benizak in the kaimel and the potter. Now, how do you distinguish that from grama? That this is a case, like for example, I take a fire and I give it to a cher shotev katan who's not a bardas, who's not a responsible person, and right? So I give him a fire and he goes and burns something down. That's a case of grama where I'm putter. Shehazik nicker. It's very clear what the damage is. When you give a katan a flame, you know the damage that he could be causing is that you're sending a flame out there without responsible watching. I'm not doing it directly. I'm causing now that it's going to happen in the future. La'achar zman. So basically, the Rashbam says as follows, that the difference between grama and garmi is that garmi is what I'm doing is happening right now. I'm causing a damage, but the damage is not recognizable. That I'm chayav for. Grama, where I'm causing a damage, that the damage is evident, what I'm causing the damage, but the impact is not going to be until later. So I'm not doing it be a dayim. The Rosh in Baba Kama adds that the requirement, the way the Rosh explains it, is bari hazeka. He says it has to be a dayim, it has to be immediately, it has to happen to the goof of the object that you're causing a change in the goof, and the Rosh adds that you also need to be it needs to be a case where it's bari hezeka, that it's positive to come. So when I send the fire in the hand of the cher shot of a katan, it's not positive that he's going to burn something down. So under the Rush's formulation, that would be another reason that it fails the test of garmi and is considered grama. What's very interesting is if you look that there's Simon Shin Pei Vav in the Shulchan Aruch, the entire Simon is about the difference between grama and garmi. And there's a very interesting shach there. So the shach brings, and this is very, like, we encounter this all the time, so I'll spend another minute and then we gotta get back to where we are. The shach brings something very interesting. He brings the Ramban. The Ramban has a long kuntros at the end of Baba Basra, where he describes these halachas of garmi, and the Ramban holds that garmi is a halacha deraisa, that it's considered hezek biadayim, and therefore, even if someone does it b'shogeg, they're chayev. If they do it, their children might be chayev to pay for it. The Ramban understands it to be an absolute damage that he's doing. Therefore, people who hold like the Ramban, like for example the Rashbam or the Rush, who are sitting here and formulating rules to distinguish why in some cases do we say garmi and in some cases do we say grama. In grama it's pater and garmi is chayev. The Shach says that he would have liked very much to write a kuntrist against this Ramban. He says he doesn't do it in the end. But the Shach understands that basically grama and garmi were distinctions that the Rabbanon made. It's a knas because in things that were shchiach to happen, that were likely to happen, they made a knas and they called something garmi instead of grama. So grama basically minatora, the idea if you're causing something indirect, you're putter. And therefore in all of these cases, no matter all these cases we mentioned, theoretically you're putter. But Chazal had the opportunity, and it was according to him, according to the Shach, that the Chachamim said that in cases where it's very shchiach, to make sure that people didn't go around causing these indirect damages, they essentially instituted a knas of garmi. So therefore, according to the Shach, there's no need to make up rules for grama or garmi. It's just basically a judgment by Chazal, but the Shach notes that we only say garmi by things that in the Gemara we're determined to be Garmi. We don't on our own make up Garmi. But that's a very fundamental issue in Grama and Garmi. Now, very quickly, the top Tosas points out something else. So we could take a quick look. The Perish Rivam, the Heiner Kerv Shim and Damar Davar Agarim Lomom and Kamam and Dami, the Mechayev, okay, so he says as follows. We have a machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim in Baba Kama about if you have something that causes a monetary, that davar garm l'mamon, something results in money that is considered kimamon. What's the classic case over there? Is that if I take someone's chametz, if I steal his chametz, right? A couple weeks after Purim, and I hold it for a month, right? And then I give it back to him. So the question is as follows: is when I give him back the chametz at the end of the month, what happened? Meanwhile, this was chametz shavar alav alav Pesach, and it's aser ba'na. No one's allowed to use it. So the question is: am I allowed to give it back to him at this point? So we say that the machlokas between the Rav Shimon says davar garim l'mamon is kamamon dami. That's something that causes monetary that has monetary value. And so if someone takes this, the idea would be that only that it has some kind of value because I'm allowed to return it to the guy, and once I return it to him, because there's no hezek that's nicker, if I give him back his chametz, that's considered having paid him back. And the chacham say davar garm l'mamon is not kamamon dami. And so Tosfos asks that, or Tosfos brings from the Rivam that some understand that our Gemara that talks about taking out tzroros being chayiv is only according to Rav Shimon, who says davar garm l'mamon is kamamon dami. Tosfos says, brings from the Ri, he says that it's not necessarily so, because he makes a fundamental distinction between davar garm l'mamon in the case of chametz with our case. What's the difference, he says? Because he says, in the case of chametz, the chametz has value to one person only. If I'm the person who stole it, I can give it back to the person I stole it from, and that's considered making a payment. So the Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are going to argue in that case of davar garm l'mamon, is that kamamon dami or not? Versus Tosa says in our case, the Ri says in our case, the stones have value for the reason we said, like the Rashbam said in his first teretz, it's an actual value because since he's allowed to sell them with his wheat, so then it has actual value. Okay. So moving along here. So what we're left with is as follows. We've basically established a rule that says that if you have less than a rova of dirt, you can include that in a sale of wheat. And if you're talking about kitnius mixed in with the wheat, you can have up to a rova akav, up to 1/24. You're allowed to have made out of kitnius. Now the Gemara says, "Well, Tanya," but we learned hamocher peros. So the question is, we're saying this distinction between dirt and kitnius. The Gemara says, "Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, mocher peros lechavero, that if someone sells peros to his friends, what kind of peros? Chitin, if he's selling wheat, this is same similar time Mishnah makabel of rova kitnius. He's allowed to have up to one rova kav, 1/24 can be kitnius, and he's still allowed to sell that as wheat." Mekabel alav rova kitnius l'sa. Sa'orim, if he's selling barley, mekabel alav rova nishoves l'sa, that basically in a bundle of barley, there's allowed to be up to 1/24 of nishoves. Nishoves is a lashon of, like the nishav is that they used to, when they would winnow, that the nishav, the wind, would take away the chaff. So like the straw. The Ritva, I believe, says that it's actually with a pei, not a beis, and therefore it's nishofes, which he understands to be from the lashon of nashafta baruchacha kisamayam, that we say in Az Yashir. So, but whatever, the point is, it's some kind of blowing away. So it's a reference to the straw that blows away. So we're saying that when you sell barley, you can have up to 1/24 of straw. Adashim, if you have lentils, mekabel alav rova afrurius lisa, so that you can have 1/24 of dirt. Now remember, we were making a distinction between dirt and kitnius. The way the Gemara wants to understand is my love, isn't this talking about a case? Hua din lechitin usa'arim. So the assumption of the Gemara, which makes it a kasha, is that all of these things that it's referencing kitnius, by saorin that it's referencing the straw, that's just the ordinary case, but they're all interchangeable. It could be dirt in the case of saorin, it could be dirt in the case of chitin. Now, if the dirt aspect applies to chitin also, that's a kasha on what we said, because we said that only only Sa'orin can be 1/24th, but dirt has to be less than 1/24th. And here you see that 1/24th can be dirt. So the Gemara says, no, your assumption is wrong. You were assuming that these are all interchangeable, that chitin could be either straw or kitnias or dirt. He's saying, no, that was particular. Where did they say that you could have 1/24th of dirt is not in a case of wheat, but rather, shani adashim d'ma'akar akri luhu. So, he's saying it specifically by lentils. What's the difference between lentils and wheat? Is because when you harvest wheat, how do you do it? You chop off the wheat somewhere above the ground, and you take the wheat. So there shouldn't be that much dirt there. Lentils, on the other hand, how do you harvest lentils? You yank them out of the ground. What's going to happen? There's going to be more dirt attached to it. So what the Gemara's answer is, don't assume that those are all interchangeable mixtures. In the case of Adashim, we're willing to take more dirt than we would take in Tevin, in grain, because grain is not supposed to have that much dirt versus Adashim are supposed to have it. So the Gemara says, Elatayma da Adashim, the ma'akri, akri lahu. So you're telling me that the reason is that the barley is uprooted and therefore it's expected to have more dirt. Avachiti visari lo. But that when you harvest wheat or barley that you're cutting off above the ground, you don't expect much dirt. So tifshit mine. So why not learn from there? Chiti visari da fru. Tifshit mine chiti visari da fruis lo. So he says, okay, so now let's go the other way. We were trying to ask Akasha saying that you should be able to have dirt even up to 1/24th, including 1/24th. So the Gemara said, no, because Adashim are different and each of them is particular. So why not bring a raya that in fact, it would be a raya to what we learned from Rav Kitino, which would say that dirt in the case of wheat can only be less than a rova kav. It can't be 1/24th. So instead of bringing a kasha on it, let's bring a raya to it. So the Gemara says, no, I can't bring a raya either. Lo'olam chiti visari mekabel afruris. So he says, maybe even wheat and barley also allow up to and including 1/24th of dirt. So what about the fact that this brisa seems to be saying that it's only adashim that are allowed to have 1/24th of dirt, and that these categories are particular. He says maybe the categories aren't particular. So then explains to Rashbam, the Gemara's kasha would be, well, if you're telling me that you could have even 1/24th of dirt in the case of Tevin or Sa'orin, in the case of wheat or barley, so why not just tell me the case of wheat and barley and dirt? And I would of course know that if I'm allowed 1/24th of dirt in a case of barley or wheat, then for sure I'm allowed 1/24th of kitnias, right? And so, and I would know that, and then I would also know that adashim, which are expected to have more dirt, would of course be allowed to have 1/24th. So the Gemara, basically the kasha is, if the brisa meant that, why didn't it just say that you could have 1/24th dirt in wheat, and I would know that in the case of lentils, you can have also 1/24th. So we say, no, the reason the brisa wanted to list dirt specifically by adashim, even though it could apply equally to tevin, it's trichale, I needed the sulkadaita chamina, I might have thought, kivin the ma'akir akri luhu, yosu mirova nami lakabo, kamash malon. So he says as follows, the reason the brisa couldn't just learn out adashim from telling me that you're allowed to have dirt by wheat is because had it told it to me by wheat, you're allowed to have 1/24th of dirt, I would say, well, that's wheat, which gets cut above ground. But lentils that are yanked out of the ground can have even more than 1/24th of dirt. So therefore, the brisa was coming to tell us, it mentioned adashim and 1/24th to say even adashim, which are uprooted, can only have 1/24th and not more, but also chitin and sorin could have 1/24th. So therefore, there's no raya from there. And I think the way we leave it is this, I think this distinction that we're saying that, that dirt can be a little bit less than 1/24th, but, kitnias can be 1/24th of the sorin, of the chitin that you sell. Okay. Amar Rav Huna. Imba lenafais, menafais es kula. So he says as follows. Rav Huna says an interesting din. So we've just finished saying that if someone has selling chitin, they're allowed to have up to 1/24th can be kitnias. So the question is, Right? When we're saying that a person basically, that's the expectation, the understanding is that you include in that a basic assumption that there's some chaff in every bit of wheat. What happens if the guy comes and says, I think, the way the Rashbam explains is, the guy says, I think you have more than 1/24 dirt in there. I'm going to sift through it and see how much dirt you have. He sifts through and finds that, in fact, there's more than 1/24 dirt. So now you've overcharged him because you didn't give him enough wheat. So now the question, though, is, Rav Huna says, rather than paying back the difference between one twelfth dirt, so you would say, okay, so half the dirt is allowed because you're allowed Rov HaKav. The other half is not allowed, so pay him back for the overage over Rov HaKav. Rav Huna says, no, nice try. If you're selling, and in the first case, you can have up to Rov HaKav of dirt, but once you cross the threshold and you cross the line, and the guy is going to go through the process of sifting it to check, so then you have to pay back everything that's not pure wheat. And so he's going to end up losing the dispensation. Okay? So what would be the reason for this? Amri la dinov, amri la knasa. So some people explain that this is din, and which would mean as follows. The idea is that every person expects perfect fruit, meaning they expect all wheat, 100% wheat, right? But what happens? I say to him, and he says, you have dirt in there. So I say, look, if you want to go measure the dirt, go ahead, and you be my guest, and then we'll deduct the amount of dirt. So we say, but then the guy says back to me, and you know what? I'm not going to bother. So as long as he assesses that it's less than 1/24, he's going to be mocho. But if it's more than 1/24, he's like, no, there's so much dirt in there, I'm going to measure, and I'm going to deduct the full value of the dirt. So therefore, in din, we basically say, and the Rashbam says, let's say someone decides, even though most people are mochel, I'm not going to be mochel, I'm going to measure. The Rashbam says that doesn't work, because butla daita itzel kladom. That, you know, this is the regular thing. So basically we're saying in din, up to 1/24, people don't bother to sift it and figure it out, but theoretically, they are expecting perfect fruits. Once you cross that measure, then the guy's actually going to go check. Once he's going to go check, you're going to have to pay him back the full amount according to Rav Huna. Rami la Knasa, others say that this is a Knas, which basically they're saying is that the problem is that up to 1/24, it's normal that's naturally occurring. If it's more, we begin to suspect that maybe you ripped the guy off, and therefore we make a Knas, and you have to pay back not just the difference between 1/24 and the amount of dirt you have in there, but we're concerned that maybe you put all the dirt in there. And therefore, we would say a kanas. Rashbam explains that the difference here would be what happens if you know for certain that the guy didn't add in the dirt, and this was a naturally occurring ratio higher than 1/24. So according to the idea that it's kanas, you would not have to pay it back, because there's no reason to kenas him, because we have proof that this was naturally occurring. On the other hand, if it's a concept of din, then we're saying once it's above 1/24, it doesn't matter whether it's naturally occurring, it's going to be, you have to pay it back in full. The Rambam doesn't make this distinction that the Rashbam makes, so people understand that the Rambam argues on the Rashbam. So according to the Rambam, what would be the difference here between the cases, whether you assume it's kenas or din? So one difference, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, would be that we know that in Bavel you can't assess a kenas, so therefore in Bavel they would not charge the whole amount, including that you lose your 1/24 dispensation, but in Eretz Yisrael you would lose it because they can do kenas. The Ran says that the difference is whether you learn from this cases to others. Because if it's a knas, you can't learn from one to the other. But if it's a din, you can. In any event, so these are the two ways to understand Rav Huna. So Amri la dina, some say, we're going to explain what I just told you. Amri la dina, some say that it's a din. Man de yoiv zuzi apir shafir yoiv. So he says that a person, when he buys wheat or he buys fruits, he expects all wheat. V'rov ala tarach inish. But when it's less than 1/24, he's not gonna bother himself, and therefore essentially he's being mochelit. Yosem erova, but if it's more than 1/24, and he looks at it and he's like, this doesn't look right, tarach inish, that he's gonna bother himself to measure. Vekivan de tarach, tarach bukule. And once he's measuring, he's gonna measure the whole thing, and then he's gonna say, when it's not pshat that I'm mochel up to 1/24, I'm only mochel because I'm lazy. But once I spent the time to measure it, then I'm going to deduct the full amount. So that's how Rav Huna would that's how they would explain Rav Huna if you hold his din. And some say it's a kenas. Why? Because rova shchiach. Because it's natural, it's common that there's 1/24 of kidneys or dirt in wheat. That's naturally occurring. Yoser, but more than that, lo shchiach. And that's not common, and therefore we're concerned, the iuhu da arev. And we're worried that he mixed in dirt, the kivan da arev, kansu rabbanim bakule. And since he mixed it in, we want to discourage that behavior, so the rabbanim are saying that, look, up to 1/24, we give you dispensation. But if you go over that line by adding in dirt, we're not only going to charge you for that added dirt, but we're going to take away the 1/24 dispensation. So it's a knas. Okay, and we're now the simon, because we're going to bring a bunch of brises trying to prove Rav Huna's halacha one way or another. So again, Rav Huna's halacha is that if you have a dispensation up to 1/24, but if you violate that dispensation, we're going to take away everything, including the initial 1/24. Meisvei kol sa sheyesh bo rova mimin acher yimayet. Okay, so what's going on here? So the halacha is that you can have. We know the halacha is that you cannot plant different species together. So, for example, you cannot plant kidneys with wheat, right? So the question here is as follows, that sometimes you have seed. There's a machlokas between Rashbam and Tosfos. We'll go with Rashbam for the moment, that if you have a cup of seed and you're about to plant it, and mixed into that wheat seed is some legumes or something that are going to grow. So the basic idea, so we're dealing here with kalayim, that the iser of kalayim, and we say that as long as it's less than 1/24, basically it's batal, that the legumes are batal in the wheat, and you're allowed to plant that whole cup of seeds without a problem because it's batal. But if it's going to be more than 1/24, you're going to end up being over on the iser of kalayim of mixing species of growing. So the Braisa says, kol sa sheyesh bo rova mimin acher, that as long as it's up to 1/24 of a min acher, if it's 1/24 of a saw that you mayate, that you have to pick out of the cup, you're going to pick out the legumes till you get to the point that there's less than 1/24 of legumes in your grain that you're about to plant. Okay, savrua. So the assumption that makes this akasha is as follows: savrua the rova the klayim. So the question is as follows. We're going to assume that when it talks about the 1/24 of legumes mixed in with your grain kernels here, that has already crossed the line. We're going to see why they think that, but that has already crossed the line of where what you're allowed to have. And so therefore, that's the equivalent of Rav Huna's case, which is that you've crossed the line, and the question is, do you forfeit everything, or do you just have to get beneath the line? So they assumed that this has already crossed the line for purposes of klayim. So we say, and yet you see, that what do you have to do? You have to reduce the amount to beneath 1/24. You don't have to get rid of all of the legumes, you just need to get enough down that you're past the rova kav. So the Gemara says, So therefore, you see that the halacha is not like Rav Huna. You see, you just need to go beneath the line. You don't actually need to, to get rid of all of the legumes. So the Gemara says, lo, you're making a bad assumption. Rova de klayim ki rova de hacha. He's saying, no, you're allowed to have 1/24 legumes in your wheat kernels. Just like here, you're allowed to have 1/24 legumes in your wheat when you're selling it. So therefore, they're really the same, and it's no raya on Rav Huna. The fact that you're allowed to reduce it is no raya because you didn't violate anything. So Rav Huna would say, when do I say that you have to get rid of everything is only if you violated something. So the Gemara says, well, that's very nice, but if you're saying he didn't violate something, then why are you telling him that he has to reduce beneath the line? If he's at the line and that line is acceptable, because you're saying that hasn't yet crossed the line, so then why are you making him pick out some of the legumes? Let him leave it there. So we say, no, that's mishum chumer de klayim. Because since we're dealing with klayim, this mixture, and that's something that's very chumer in the Torah, so even though you're at the right level, 1/24 is a permissible amount of legumes to be in your wheat kernels, we still tell you reduce a little bit because we don't want to get people close to the line of possibly ending up being over on Kalayim. So we're saying no. 1/24th is the halacha by Mekach HaMemkar, by selling wheat like us, and it's the same measure by Klayim. Why do we say reduce it a little bit? Just to make sure people aren't over on Klayim. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, if so, Ema Seifa. I'll tell you the Seifa of that halacha by Klayim. It says, Rav Yossi Amar, Rav Yossi says, Yivar, that basically you have to get rid of all of the legumes. Now comes the question the Gemara says, E Amrit Bishloma, if you're going to tell me, Ki Yosir Mi Rova Mi Nofes Dami, that in the case of Kalayim where you have 1/24th, you've already crossed the red line, so then it makes sense, Bahaka Mithlgi, then it makes sense that there's a machlokas to Tanakama and Reb Yossi, because Tanakama Savar Lo Kansinan Hetera Atu Isura, because the Tanakama do not hold like Rav Huna. They say, look, he's allowed up to 1/24th, so therefore he has to get himself back below 1/24th, and then he's fine. Reb Yossi Savar Kansina. And Reb Yossi, on the other hand, holds like Rav Huna and says, no, once he crossed the red line, he's messed up, and he's got to get rid of all of the legumes. So if we learn like that, then the machlok, and so we learn that 1/24th, in the case of Kalayim, has already crossed the line, so then it makes sense the machlok is the Tanakam and Reb Yossi. Elie Amrit, if you're going to tell me, like you just finished telling me, that 1/24th in the case of Kalayim has not crossed the line, so Elie Amrit Kirova Dami, that it's similar to our case, and 1/24th is allowed, Amai Yivar, why on earth would Reb Yossi say you have to get rid of everything? So Bishloma, you want to tell me I don't want you to get close to Kalayim, so I tell you take a little bit out to get beneath 1/24th. That makes sense. But why would you get rid of everything? It's like a gzera l'gzera. So what would be the rationale for that? So therefore, it appears that it must be that we are right in the first place, that when you have 1/24th in Kalayim, you've already crossed the red line. If you've already crossed the red line, then the Tanakama, which says Yemayet, shows you that the halacha where you've crossed the line is not like Rav Huna, because they're saying you just need to get beneath 1/24th. You don't need to get rid of everything. So it seems that we're back to having our kasha. We're back to having our kasha and Rav Huna. Why are you allowed to reduce it as opposed to getting rid of all of the impurity? So the Gemara says, no, we're going to go back to what we said, that really 1/24th is allowed in Mekach HaMemkar, and it's allowed in Kalayim. So then what was the Gemara's kasha? If it's allowed in Kalayim, why on earth would Reb Yossi say that you have to get rid of everything? Why not just get beneath the limit if it's allowed? So Reb Yossi says, so we say, Hasam Hainu Taima. This is the reason, Hasam Hainu Taima de Reb Yossi, Mishum de Mechzi Kimekayim Kalayim. Because what's happening in the case where if I have this cup of wheat kernels and there's a few beans in there, big deal. So I just toss the thing in and I plant it, right? But if I'm already having to pull things out, so what's happening? I'm acknowledging that there's beans in here, right? I'm picking out some and I'm leaving the rest because I'm just trying to get beneath the 1/24th limit. Reb Yossi says, no, you can't do that, because then when you go plant, it's one thing if you tell me I'm just planting the whole cup, I'm not paying attention. So fine, there's some legumes in there, they're butel. But once you know they're legumes, you pick out some and you leave the others, it's like you're intentionally planting Kalayim. That we're not going to allow you to do. So therefore, we've now explained that the Braisa can be where you're allowed 1/24th, both in cases of selling wheat and also in cases of Kalayim. So there's no Raya to Rav Huna. Tashma, Shnayim Shevkido Eitzel Echad. We've had this case a few times, so hopefully we can go through it quickly. Shnayim Shevkido Eitzel Echad, Zem Manav Zem Asayim. So what happened? Two people came to a guy and deposited money with him. One guy gave him $100, one guy gave him $200. So he's now holding $300. Zemmer Masayim Shali, Zemmer Masayim Shali. So what happens though? They each come back and tell the guy, give me my $200. So now we have a problem because someone's lying here. One guy who gave 100 is now asking for 200. So we say, Nosan lezemana lezemana v'ashar yehemuna chachiyavo elyo. So we say, what's the halacha that we say over there? That each of them gets 100, because that, for sure, they each deposited 100. And the last 100 that they're arguing about, you let it sit around there till Elio Anavi. So what do you see? You see that when someone crosses, when someone does something wrong, we don't punish him by taking away everything. We only punish him to take him back to the point that was allowed, so to speak. So therefore, we give him back his 100, because that's for sure. And we only charge him, or we only hold back the amount that is the overage. So what do you see? You see the halacha is not like Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says you lose everything. So the Gemara says, "Hachi hashta." How can you compare it? Hasam vaday manalamar, manalamar, manalamar. So he says there, each of them for sure are entitled to $100. Hacha mi yemer delav kuli aruvei arev. Once we suspect, once he's gone over the 1/24th limit, we suspect that maybe he put all of it in there. He had perfectly pure wheat, and he threw in 1/24th, more than 1/24th of dirt. So in the case of the money, no one can say that he's entitled to zero, because he's for sure entitled to 100. But in the case of the dirt, we could say maybe he added it all in. In which case, Rav Huna has a rationale to charge him in that case, but not to charge him in the case of the money. Tashma, 2 minutes and we'll go. Tashma mi seifa. So what about the seifa of that same brisa? I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says he didn't like this halacha that you keep, you give each 100 and you keep 100 till Elio. Imkein ma hefsid aramai. Then what is the guy, in other words, let's say the guy doesn't like the other guy. So he says he'll claim 200, he'll get back his 100, which is all he gave in the first place, and meanwhile he's messing up the other guy. So Rav Yossi says, Ela ko yehemuna chachiyav Elio. Rather, we stick all 300 to sit till Elio Navi. Then the guy is going to be not so quick to be a liar, because he's losing his own $100. So what do you see? You see that you do kenas the whole thing. So this, Rav Yossi's halacha should be a raya to Rav Huna. You don't just take it beneath 1/24th, you take it down to zero. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashto. How can you compare that? Hasam vadai ikaramai. Hacha miyemer da ruvei arv. He says, no, this is like the opposite of what we said before, but he says that in the case over there with the 200 and the 100, someone's a liar, and therefore it makes sense to punish him by taking away even the permitted amount. In this case, it happens to be uncommon, but theoretically, you could have a naturally occurring 1/24th. So therefore, there's no raya 2 or 4 Rav Huna. And tashma shtar sheyesh bo ribis. That what happens if you have a shtar? You're not allowed to do a shtar with ribis. You lent money with ribis anyway, and you gave a shtar for the ribis. The halacha is konsono, so you give him a knas ve'ena gova loos akerem loos a ribis. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So what do you see? You see, you take away everything. You don't just take away the ribis that he wasn't supposed to charge. You take away his keren too. So that halacha seems to be like Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashto. This is going to be the same. He says, Hasam mishas ksiva huda avad le'sumo. That at the time he wrote the shtar, he was over on l'sasimun alav neshach. He was already over on interest. This is basically the same thing we just said. Just like we said, there's one guy's vadai ramai. We say here in this case, the guy Vadai did something wrong because he was over on interest, so therefore we're going to knas him. Hacham miyemer daruve ariv. But in other words, in this case, maybe it was a naturally occurring over 1/24th, and he did nothing wrong. So maybe that's not a it's not a raya to Rav Huna, because maybe we would only say that in a case where someone for sure did something wrong, and in this case he didn't for sure do something wrong. Last thing, very quickly, because it's the same concept. Tashma mi seifa. What about the seifa of that same thing? Vachacham raimin goves a keren ve'ena goves a ribis. They say you can collect the keren and not the ribis. So what do you see? You just have to go beneath. You just have to take away what's impermissible. So you should go beneath the 1/24th. So therefore the raya should be that you see the halacha is not like Rav Huna, it's a kasha and Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, Hachi hashta, hasam vadai karna de terahu, hach mi yemer the kulo lo aruve erev. So this is the same thing as before. He's saying, this is what we answered by the 100 and the 200. We're saying that there's some amount, in the case of ribis, there's some amount he's for sure entitled to. He's allowed to get his principal back because he didn't do anything wrong. Right? So therefore, we for sure, he's entitled to the principal, but we take away the interest. But in our case, who said there's anything he's for sure entitled to? Maybe he, in fact, put all the 120, because since it's more than 1/24th, and that's not common, we say maybe he put all of it in. Okay.